Chapter 31. The sign above the entrance to what had formerly been known as Professor Goosewaddle's Potion and Scrolls Emporium had been replaced by a sign which simply read Arby's. Severed wires dangling from the bottom suggested this was a genuine sign which Goosewaddle had stolen, and that the light emanating from it was produced through magical means. Business was booming. Tim had been standing in line for hours, more out of curiosity than any desire to eat Arby's food again so soon. The street was littered on both sides, with creatures picnicking on the sidewalks, enjoying their roast beef sandwiches, while angry magic shop owners threatened to blast them with lightning bolts if they didn't stop blocking their storefronts. The line moved slowly, and Tim was stuck between a centaur and a bugbear, one of whom had a serious gas problem. It was like the universe had conspired to make sure Tim was farted on at all times. When he finally made it through the doorway, Tim discovered that the sign wasn't all Goosewaddle had swiped from some no doubt currently very confused and angry franchise owner. Four booths, the likes of which could not be found anywhere else in this world, occupied the space where once stood hefty oaken racks full of potions, ointments, and minor magical knickknacks. On each table there were two plastic squeezy bottles, one red and the other white, Arby's sauce and horsey sauce respectively, a napkin dispenser, a set of salt and pepper shakers, and for some reason, a bottle of Tabasco sauce. He also discovered why it was taking so goddamn long. There was only one guy working the counter. Beads of sweat shone high in his forehead along his receding hairline. The pit stains on his uniform green polo shirt ran down to where it was tucked into his lame-ass triple-pleated khakis. Anyone who can steal and magically teleport signs, food, condiments, furniture, and presumably kitchen equipment could also swipe himself a couple of uniforms, but a few details gave this guy away as the genuine goods. He was wearing a pair of modern eyeglasses, which Tim had never seen in this world. His name tag read, Paul Gonzalez, Manager, which screamed, I'm from Earth. But the biggest clue was how ineptly this poor schlub was dealing with the angry Minotaur who was currently shouting across the counter at him.
2 gold pieces for so little food,
the Minotaur boomed.
How can you call that a value meal?
Paul Gonzalez, manager, did his best to answer without crying.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't set the prices. Please don't kill me.
Is there a problem here?
Said Professor Goosewaddle as he flew in from the staircase and hovered above the counter, his hands crackling with electricity. He wore the same green polo shirt as Paul, but his fit more like a wizard's robe, the bottom hanging past his toes.
If you find my prices unreasonable, there are a multitude of other dining establishments in the city.
The Minotaur hung his big head and placed 2 gold coins on the counter.
I'll pay.
His voice was low and mopey. The situation diffused, Professor Goosewaddle grabbed a cup, filled it with Mountain Dew from the fountain, and floated above the crowd to the one empty booth, no doubt reserved for him. The better part of an hour passed while Tim impatiently waited for his turn. Occasionally, a young girl named Jennifer would bring food out from the room Tim had once teleported to Earth from. She might have been pretty if her face wasn't covered in sweat and terror.
Welcome to Arby's, said Paul Gonzalez, manager. How can I help you?
His voice was much calmer than it had been with his previous customers. Tim's lack of fangs, claws, antenna, or horns probably had something to do with that.
2 Arby's roast beefs and a large curly fry.
The manager swallowed hard, gawking down at Tim. He looked like he wanted to say something not roast beef sandwich related, but after a quick glance in Goosewaddle's direction, he thought better of it.
Anything to drink?
Nah, said Tim. Brought my own.
That'll be 3 gold pieces.
Tim patted his pockets, suddenly remembering something very important.
Fuck, I don't have any money.
The manager shook his head. He was breathing hard.
I'm very sorry, sir.
He looked past Tim.
Next!
Tim stood on his tiptoes and leaned closer.
Come on, Paul! Hook a brother up!
He hoped his use of modern American colloquialism would sway the manager, or at least fuck with him. Paul glanced in Goosewaddle's direction again, then leaned down to get right in Tim's face. His breath smelled like scope and Marlboro.
Are you... Do you know where I'm from?
Gulfport? Biloxi? D'Iberville?
Paul stopped breathing. Tim was pretty sure his heart stopped beating for a second.
You have to get me out of here.
Tim made a mental note that he said me rather than us. He guessed Jennifer could go fuck herself as far as Paul was concerned. Typical fast food manager.
I can't help anyone on an empty stomach.
Listen, kid, I'd love to hook a brother up.
Paul's attempt at hip urban slang was less convincing than if the Minotaur had said it.
But if my till comes up short, the boss, I don't know what he'll do to me.
Dude, chillax.
Tim would never use the word chillax, but he was intentionally going as heavy as he could on the slang.
Your boss and I are tight.
He turned around to face Goosewaddle's booth and shouted,
Yo, Goosewaddle!
The restaurant went completely silent, save for the echoing slurp of the professor's Mountain Dew. Goosewaddle turned around slowly to see who dared address him so informally in his own restaurant. When he saw Tim, his eyes lit up.
Tim! Welcome! What do you think?
Tim nodded.
I like it. A little taste of home.
Come over and join me when you've gotten your food.
Will do.
Tim turned back to Paul.
Throw in an order of mozzarella sticks and I'll see what I can do.
When Tim's food was ready, he carried his tray to Goosewaddle's booth, where he ran into an invisible force field, upturning his tray and spilling all his food on the floor.
Fuck! Oh dear, said Professor Goosewaddle. My apologies,
he snapped his fingers. Tim reached out for the force field, but it had been deactivated.
Don't sweat it. I've eaten off the floor of the chicken hut.
He piled his curly fries and mozzarella sticks back onto the tray. At least the sandwiches were wrapped.
Tell me, Tim, said Goosewaddle. How did you hear about this place?
It sounded like he was more interested in marketing data than small talk.
Someone threw a cup at my head.
Goosewaddle rubbed his little hands together.
Outstanding!
Tim could practically see dollar signs in the old gnome's eyes. Tim unwrapped his sandwiches and removed the top buns.
I noticed you kidnapped yourself a staff.
He gave each sandwich a generous squirt of Arby's sauce, careful not to let any of it near his curly fries. Whatever cockroach shit or dire rat hairs they might have touched on the floor, he'd be damned if they'd be sullied by sauce.
Kidnap is a strong word, said the professor. I merely borrowed them against their will.
Tim spoke through a mouthful of roast beef sandwich.
That's kind of the textbook definition.
I'm going to compensate them for their time in service, said Goosewaddle defensively. I just need them to train a goblin staff.
He leaned over the table and grinned.
Goblins will work for next to nothing.
Sounds like you've learned the ins and outs of the fast food industry pretty well.
I have learned much. Your world is a strange and fascinating place. I've seen... Oh dear, just a moment.
He reached down, then produced a sleek, black, shiny rectangle. Tim nearly choked on a curly fry.
Is that a fucking smartphone?
Professor Goosewaddle pursed his lips as he looked at the screen.
A message from the king.
Wait, said Tim. Did you just get a fucking text?
Goosewaddle climbed onto the table and stood up.
If I could have everyone's attention.
The din inside the restaurant calmed down.
The restaurant is closed for the rest of the day.
The din returned, only now it was louder and decidedly more grumbly. Goosewaddle raised both hands over his head, each engulfed in a raging blue ball of fire. That shut everyone up.
It is the king's decree that you must all return to your homes immediately. A citywide state of emergency has been declared.
That didn't sound good. Tim washed down a mouthful of curly fries with stone piss. He didn't know if the citizens were reacting to the king's authority or Goosewaddle's, but everyone cleared out of the restaurant like cockroaches when the lights go on.
Paul? Jennifer?
Shouted Goosewaddle. The clang of a pan against the floor rang out from Goosewaddle's workshop, quickly followed by Jennifer. She and Paul stood at panicked attention.
Yes, Professor?
They said in unison.
I need 24 roast beef sandwiches and as many curly fries as you can fry in the meantime. These are for the king, so make them presentable.
Without a word, Paul and Jennifer retreated into the workshop. Goosewaddle slumped down into the booth, idly picked up one of Tim's mozzarella sticks, pulled a hair off of it, and put it in his mouth.
What's going on?
Asked Tim.
And since when are you so close to the king?
I told you, said Goosewaddle. I have learned much in your world. I was able to share valuable information with His Majesty about the new god.
Tim laughed.
You mean Jesus?
The same.
What valuable information could you possibly have given the king about Jesus?
On one of my journeys, I was invited to attend a ritual at the house of the new god.
Is that right?
Said Tim. He was giggling on the inside.
What did you think?
Honestly, As far as divine worship rituals go, I found it a bit dull.
You're telling me. Imagine trying to sit through that shit when you're six.
Goosebottle stroked his beard.
There was a lot of sitting, yes, and standing. The kneeling was the worst. It was hard on my old knees and I couldn't see anything.
This is fantastic. Keep going.
Some passages were read from sacred text. Then the high cleric spoke candidly to the congregation about his interpretation of those passages. It was a little difficult to follow. He attempted to liven things up with humor, but he was no bard.
Were you dressed like that?
Goosewaddle ignored the question, his mind focused on his recollection.
I started to nod off. It was about to make for an exit, but temple enforcers were patrolling the aisles, passing baskets from one aisle to the next, in which the worshippers would put coins or folded pieces of paper. All I had to offer was two cockatrice feathers, so I put those in.
I'm sure they were appreciated.
Indeed. Cockatrice feathers are rare and valuable.
I'll bet, said Tim. So what happened next?
Something very peculiar, said Professor Goosewaddle. The entire congregation stood up at once and began grappling each other by the hand, but wishing peace upon them.
Tim was really enjoying this.
It would have been worth sitting through this just to watch your reaction.
Goosewaddle rubbed his little hands together.
I haven't gotten to the best part. While I was still contemplating the ritualistic grappling, people started forming lines to ingest the flesh and blood of the new god.
They did not.
They did.
Tim looked at the restaurant door, then at the doorway leading to Goosewaddle's workshop, where Paul and Jennifer were busily making the king's sandwiches and curly fries and having an argument in hushed tones, then finally across the table at Professor Goosewaddle himself.
Did you ingest the flesh and blood of the new god?
I didn't want to at first, but the people I was sitting next to urged me forward. As I stood in line, I watched other people eat the tiny discs of godflesh. Everyone seemed very calm about it, so I figured, how often do you get a chance to eat a god? Truth be told, it wasn't as horrifying as it sounds.
You don't say, said Tim. Tell me, what does a god taste like?
Professor Goosewaddle's eyes lit up.
Ah! This is the sort of valuable information I was able to pass along to the king, and what led me to recognize the new god later when I saw him on the magic screen box.
Hold on, said Tim. You're starting to lose me. What is it exactly that you learned?
Goosewaddle looked left and right, then leaned across the table and whispered,
The new god's flesh is made of bread.
That should have been hilarious, but Tim was starting to feel the latent pangs of Catholic guilt.
And his blood, said the professor. His blood was infused with enough spirit to kill a dwarf.
Tim felt an uncomfortable sense of embarrassment, like when that one kid still believes in Santa Claus years after everyone else in the class found their toys hidden in the garage, and it's so sad, even the bullies won't make fun of him. He didn't know whether he felt more embarrassed for Professor Goosewaddle, the king, or the Catholic Church, but he knew this was going to end badly if he let it continue.
Listen, Professor, said Tim. There's some things you need to understand about my world.
Indeed, there is still much to learn.
Religion, for example, is different there than it is here. A long time ago, people made up stories to explain things they didn't understand, and over time...
20 Arby's roast beefs, said Paul.
And 10 large curly fries,
said Jennifer. Each of them held 2 large paper Arby's bags.
Would His Majesty like anything to drink with that?
Better safe than sorry, said Professor Goosewaddle. He likes the dew of the mountain.
Tim stood in front of the exit.
Professor, we need to talk about this before you go.
I mustn't keep His Majesty waiting any longer,
said Professor Goosewaddle, taking the filled cup from Jennifer.
You should run back to your tavern.
But I need...
Paul, Jennifer, get some rest. You'll find pillows and bedrolls in the room upstairs. You both did a fine job today.
But Professor, said Tim. You need to hear...
Citywide state of emergency, said the professor. Such a declaration is unprecedented in my lifetime. I understand you're eager to share your culture and history with me, as I am eager to learn it, but now is not the time. The king demands nourishment. We shall speak of this again soon.
But...
Professor Goosewaddle bowed his head curtly.
Goodbye for now.
He vanished with a little pop and puff of blue smoke, which Tim suspected he may have added to his teleportation spell for extra flair.
Well, fuck.
As soon as the professor was gone, Paul sat in a booth and started sobbing. Jennifer sat in a different booth and laid her head on her arms. She looked more exhausted than anything. Tim went back to his own booth and finished his curly fries.